Blog Talk Radio.
One night Farmer Brown was taking the air, locked up the barn and with the greatest of care. Stern when he hollered, "Who's there?" This is what he heard: "There ain't nobody here but us chickens. Ain't nobody here at all. So quiet yourself. There ain't nobody here but us." He kindly point that gun the other way and holla, holla, holla up and hit the hay, 'cause there ain't nobody here but us chickens. Ain't nobody here at all. You stomping around, shaking the ground, kicking up an awful dust. We chickens trying to sleep and you butt in and hobble, 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 hobble with your chin, 'cause tomorrow is a busy day. We got things to do, we got eggs to lay, ground to dig and worms to scratch. Thanks a lot of setting, getting chicks to hatch, 'cause there ain't nobody here but us chickens, done.
You're listening to Nonprofit Radio, FM 97.3, KZAC LP Sacramento, 104.9 FM, KGIG LP Modesto Ripon, or FM 93.3, KPHD LP Modesto Ceres.
Welcome to today's edition of The Backstory with former Mayor Carmen Sabatino, with news and information you will not read in the local paper or hear on area radio and TV. The Backstory presents an insider's view of what's really happening on a local political scene. And now, let's join your host, Carmen Sabatino, to learn The Backstory.
Good morning and welcome to The Backstory. You know, I have to tell you, I've tried to stay focused on certain subjects, certain stories, but so much is going on with this city and this county that it's difficult, very difficult, not to spread out and try and cover everything. The latest one is the fact that Riverstone Capital, an insurance carrier for the city of Modesto, has failed to pay Modesto employees medical claims and is the subject of a U.S. Department of Labor complaint filed in federal court. And it's considering bankruptcy. You know, I have to tell you, Kevin Villem, I guess, is the reporter who had this story just dumped on his telephone. And the story is that Riverstone Operations representative thought he was calling the State Department, the Labor Department. And so the phone message was about 2 minutes long, and it said, "This message is for Grace Kim. This is Travis Bugley, Chief Operating Officer of Riverstone Capital. I have updates that I wanted to give you over the phone." You know, it sort of reminds me of when the mayor and the city attorney called me and left a message about the signs in the desktop.
I remember that.
Stupid. You can't cure stupid. Well, at least we know that Riverstone Capital, who insures the employees of the city of Modesto, there are 112 employers. This is what the Riverstone does. We're not the only city that has done business with Riverstone. Well, the reporter for the Bee says that it's not clear yet what it means for Modesto. So far, what it means is that our employees, city employees, are not being paid for their bills. And that could be disastrous. Well, when reached by phone Wednesday, the reporter says, he says, I cannot say how a Riverstone bankruptcy would affect Modesto's unpaid claims. The company is cooperating with the Department of Labor. Well, there are about 700 of the city's 1,200 employees have insurance through Riverstone, which the city has used since January 2017. The city recently switched to new insurance effective March 1st. We got new insurance, at least. We're being covered. After it grew concerned about unpaid claims, and so what is a bankrupt company, insurance company, what do? And when they're in trouble and can't pay the bills, they raise their rates 87%.
And that's bad news. If you're one of those people that has unpaid claims, your doctor doesn't care about the insurance company not paying it. They're going right back after you for it. That's a debt, a personal debt. They may say, I'm very sorry your health insurance can't pay us, but you better.
Well, what is the liability of the city? How did they get connected with Riverstone Capital? Didn't anybody at the city do some... I'm sorry. Didn't anybody at the city, vet the insurance company?
Due diligence.
Sure. Don't you check out who you're going to be doing business with?
It sounds like it's reading the article. It sounds like it's a couple guys. Each own 47% of the company. It seems like.
Well, they're not at fault.
Of course not.
Who's at fault? Is the city? What do you mean? When this guy, what is his name, Thomas Reeves, the representative of the city, doesn't know what this means for the city? What do you have a city attorney for? Where was the city attorney in 2017 when you made this deal with Riverstone Capital? I have another question. 700 employees. Which 700 employees are with Riverstone? And do the administrators, management, the staff, do they have different insurance? Is there insurance with another company? I don't know. We sure ought to find that out. Anyhow, it's become obvious that this city is a disgrace. And we're still going to await a response from our city chamber of commerce, my friend, Mr. Russell.
Okay.
I
do have a short clip on that if you need it.
I think we ought to do it, and then let me respond to Mr. Russell and his garbage talk. And I'm still going to call it his I'm not a crook speech, because, Mr. Russell, you have to prove that what I said and position I'm taking is a lie. And I assure you, and we'll get the paperwork to you, I assure you that we're not looking for an apology. We're looking to have you and the people who did this, even 20 years ago, we're looking to have you made responsible. Let's go ahead and play with...
Okay, this is what you said Tuesday night.
Okay.
It's most recent.
Good evening. I've given you a copy of a backstory article. Last time I was here... certain things went on that we don't have to discuss tonight because they will be discussed in the future. But if you turn to page 2, what does concern me is a transcript of what went on after I spoke, and after Cecil Russell spoke. And I'd like to just share this with you because it shows what we were all like after what I said. The started out with Mr. Russell leaving the podium. I then attempted to speak, and it was, "Thank you, Mr. Sabatino, you've had your time." He's had his time. I don't know who that would be. "Mr. Sabatino, you've had your time. Mayor, this note," this is me, "this note involves your city. Mr. Sabatino, I've been accused of libel." I don't have to go into that. "There will be no apology from Mr. Russell. There will only be accountability. Mayor, I have a right to respond to a public comment." Well, that's not true. The present mayor has the right to control his own meeting and use his discretion that he wishes, even though I disagree. It's not a standard, it's a law. You can't respond. "No, no, okay." This other part says "chief." I don't know who said that, but there's a question mark. "They're a public hearing." Then you go on to say, "I mean, you've had your time." "Yeah, yeah. I need you to step away from the mic." Again, I assume that's the mayor. "You've said a little too much tonight, Carmen." "Way too much. Thank you. Do I have anybody else?" So in public comment period, this is all I want to share with you tonight. I will be asking for public information on getting back to the issue of the CVB, going back to even 1999. The fact is, and I'll close, if I'm lying, Mr. Russell and you have nothing to worry about. But since I'm telling the truth, you have to be accountable. Thank you.
Thank you.
There you go.
Okay, how do you make them accountable? Well, you can't, because we have a newspaper that has decided that they will print only what it is they want. You know, I want to tell you just a short story of a conversation I had with B editor Brian Clark. He's fairly new to the job, but we had a conversation about the role of the city, I mean the role of the B here in Modesto. I didn't make a recording of that, unfortunately.
No.
Yeah. Well, Brian Clark made the statement about what we were talking about, a place where homeless could live. I wrote an article, and the article contained what City of Los Angeles did about the homeless. They created some housing out of old motels. They went in, provided housing for veterans. They built 500 units. In doing that, they provided jobs for electricians and carpenters and people to rehab the motels. Well, I asked that that be a Viewpoint article. Well, the B has a long-standing order that you don't say anything about Sabatino unless it's negative. And this has been going on for years. So, okay, they own the newspaper. They call themselves journalists. But what they are the gatekeepers to tell you and me and anyone else what they think we should hear. So I sent this in, and instead of a viewpoint article, I got a letter to the editor. So in my discussion with Brian Clark, I said, well, thank you for the letter to the editor, but I had asked for a viewpoint article. And Brian Clark says, well, I talked it over with Mike Dunbar, and we decided that a newspaper article was sufficient. And he says, you know, Carmen, you've trashed the Modesto Bee for decades. What makes you think that we would help you? My response to that was, I'm not asking for help. I've never told anyone not to subscribe to the Bee. I've never told anyone not to read the Bee. On the other hand, Mr. Clark, you and your paper have decided to not support, in fact, telling people not to support Sabatino's Ristorante. And then he said, well, you know, I drive by there once in a while, and I think about dropping a dime, but I don't. I got to tell you, by the end of that conversation, I did say, you know, Brian, I don't know if you know what dropping a dime means. It certainly doesn't mean that there's anything on our menu for 10 cents. Dropping a dime means, it's an old saying about when we had telephones that required a dime. The expression drop a dime meant, I'm going to call the police and turn you in. Okay? I'm going to get you. I'm going to snitch on you. I'm going to drop a dime on you. I'm going to snitch. Well, I sort of said, you know, Brian, your newspaper, you don't snitch on anybody. You don't report what you should be reporting, but there's two reasons. One, the misconduct that occurs by friends of yours, top officials, people on the Board of Supervisors or in the city council or anywhere where there is malfeasance in government, you don't cover it. You decide which people you are going to attack and destroy and which people you're going to protect at all costs. And quite frankly, you have protected members of your own staff. So that's a story on that, but speaking of misconduct and stupidity, there was a story in the Bee, and let's say something good about him. Thursday, February 7th, the headline was, "Video proves girl's claim of attempted kidnapping not true." Where else but in Modesto? Forget the insurance story. That alone shows the mis. And who's responsible? Why don't we start naming names? You know, we have a mayor. His name is Branfall. Okay, we have a city council. We have Doug Ridenour. We have Jenny Knoyer. We have Bill Zalocki. We have our esteemed city manager, Joe Lopez, who's got the job only because the city couldn't find anybody else to take it. So they hired the interim guy. Then we've got, on the other side of the mirror, we've got our friend Adam Lindgren, who, if we were going to seek justice, you would take his record and turn it into the state bar. Okay? That's how bad his record is. That's how unethical he is. Okay? Then, on the other side of that, you have Christy IU. Then you have Tony Madrigal. And finally, Manny Grewal. All of those people are responsible. And if there is misconduct, they must share in that responsibility. And they should not dare ever again to tell any citizen that he doesn't have a right to speak. So, my claim is this. The mayor runs the meeting. I understood very shortly after I arose that he was not going to have any more discussion from me. Okay? At which point, I shut up and I walked away. Okay? Now, it's only since I got the transcript that I see the word chief, question mark. Well, here's the back story. When I walked away from that podium, when I turned around, Chief Galen Carroll and another officer took at least 3 or 4 steps towards the podium from the back of the room. And then Galen waved off his partner's other. And I thought, Chief, was he called down to touch me? Is that what he was going to do? I think we ought to find that out. We're going to try and find out as much as we can. But in any event, getting back to the video, which proved that a man by the Sandeep Singh spent the past several months fighting allegations that he tried to kidnap a 14-year-old girl from a Modesto residential neighborhood. Despite the investigation of the Modesto Police Department and the so-called investigation by Birgit Flatiger's office, Singh was booked at the Stanislaus County Jail.
Yeah, it took his attorney to figure it out, McAllister.
Yeah. He took... He had to post a $200,000 bond to be released. Prosecutors on July filed a criminal complaint against Singh, charging him with felony kidnapping. Look, once you're charged with that, you're damaged. You don't think for a moment that if you make the front page of the B, that you're going to clear your name, because you're not. And that's why it's so important that we have journalists in this community.
That he posted bond, now that it's been found to be completely false, does he get that money back? For having to just do $200,000 bond?
He doesn't get back the premium. I don't think you're right. I don't think you get that money back. That's an insurance policy.
Yeah, that's awful.
So I don't think he has to pay the $200,000, or get the, because I'm sure he posted a bond.
He did.
Okay, so he doesn't get the bond money back. No.
I don't think that's right.
Well, that's the way it is. Just think of the bond that the Carson had to pay. Okay, just even after that, he had to pay a $60,000 bond. Actually, for the first 18 months, he had no bond. You know, maybe Birgit could laugh about that.
You mean he was in a cell and wasn't allowed to even post bond?
No, it's right. No bond. He was there.
Wow.
Gee, Birgit, you missed an opportunity to make some money for the state, the county, and your office.
Well, that's
by letting him bail out.
Well, looking at that article, that's what happens when you don't watch who you vote for. Because it took the defense attorney to go find surveillance cameras that proved he didn't do it. The police should have done that.
Right. But, you know, he's just an immigrant. He's, you know.
Terrible.
If you don't think that there is discrimination in this world. Well, it has in this world, yes. That's true. But in this community, okay, But Singh had a comment and noticed that the comments, the good part, Singh said, Schwartz said the district attorney's office was dropping the criminal charge case, and she asked the court to find Singh factually innocent and seal the records of his arrest. Cordova granted the prosecutor's request. Singh said, these types of accusations stay with you for the rest of your life, unless your case ends the way his ended this week. He said he's just glad the girl told the truth and he's now vindicated. Okay, what happens to a 14-year-old girl? What happens to her? Of course, we don't need her name. She's got to go through recovery. She's got to go through this recovery without her name being put in the newspaper. So that's one thing I can agree with on the newspaper. So I found that to be, I don't know how to take it, but I think we ought to give credit to a defense attorney by the name of Kirk McAllister, who investigated and found the truth and brought the truth and forced the district attorney.
He walked down the street and looked for surveillance cameras. That should have been part of the police investigation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, hey, I went to court this morning. I went to Praveen Singh's. I'm going to go back this afternoon, who I think is going to be testifying in the Frank Carson case. They're still in court. They're still there. 18 months of preliminary hearing. 1 year they take off, and now almost another year of jury trial. And it's not over yet. And you have probably spent 12, I used to say 10 million. You've probably spent maybe $12 million by now.
That's a staggering amount.
Of taxpayers' money. It's also getting back. We're going to end again and sum up. We have to go off here pretty soon. I think we have, what, 3 minutes?
Yes. Two.
Tomorrow we'll have more on the Chamber of Commerce, the Convention and Visitors Bureau. And we're going to find out if any city council people will want to talk to me this afternoon. We'll make the phone calls. Of course, we can't record them unless they want them recorded, but we can have them call in. And look, for tomorrow, if you're listening right now, call for and tell them tomorrow at 11 o'clock. The phone number is 846-1814. 846-1814. All they have to do is pick up their cell phone, dial that number, and they can listen to the show. We'll take the calls. They can also make comments or ask questions. We have got to grow. We are going to be in any way effective in telling people to test on Stanislaus County backstory. Thanks for listening. Talk to you tomorrow at 11. Crack yourself, stop all that fuss.